good. How are you?
I'm great.
Please rise. Thank you.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin with the roll call, please. You. Director Katz, you here?
I'm here.
Thank you. Director, you here? Director Wilson?
Yes.
You here?
Present.
Okay. Yesterday. Okay, I'm going to ask Michelle, could you read any items that have been pulled from the consent calendar? Is your mic on? Okay. Items 7 and 13 have been pulled from the consent calendar. Pardon me? Okay. Chair would entertain a motion on the consent calendar for those remaining items that don't require 9 votes.
So moved.
Second.
Without objection, so ordered. The 9 vote items are which? Are they all the 2/3?
Yeah.
Okay. So those items requiring a 2/3 vote on the consent calendar will be set aside until we get a couple more members. Chair's report. None at this point. I will refer to here to the CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask Al Martinez, is he here?
I'm here.
I'll make just a very brief presentation on the next trip program, which will start next week.
Up here in the dais, as well as out there, we sort of bring it to order here, and we'll move through the agenda. Thank you.
Good morning. Al Martinez. I wanted to introduce Next Trip, which is our bus arrival, our real-time bus arrival information that we are preparing to roll out. We're currently in...
We only have a short period of time.
Right.
Cut to it, please.
Okay. We're providing real-time information from the fleet, and then we're distributing on the telephone, on a mobile, on web, and on cell phone. So I'd like to walk you through that. If you have a smartphone, you're going to log on to m.metro.net. You're going to click on Next Trip to get information. And if you have a GPS-enabled telephone, you will automatically get the lines that are associated with that stop. If you don't have a GPS-enabled phone, you can get prompted through the selection of your line, route, and the direction that you'd like. If you want information on the text, on text mode, you can SMS to 41411, and then you enter your metro and your stop number, and that information will give you a line, and then you can get the next bus information, your arrival information for the designated line. And finally, we have that information available on the web at metro.net. Slash next trip, and you can get your bus arrival information for whatever direction, route that you'd like. You can also get the information on a map. All of the procedures that we have here, I know I went through it quickly, but it is on the web for you, so you can take a look at it at your leisure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The reason for the report is this will begin to go into service before the next board meeting. I wanted to make sure everybody knew about it. I want to just comment on the Crenshaw Transit Project, Tiger 2, TIFIA. There's been some movement in the House to rescind those funds. We believe that they are secure. We are working closely with with the appropriate offices to make sure that those funds remain available. I want to also let you know that as regards the potential for high gasoline prices, we have a contingency plan in place that will cause us to delay the sale of retired buses. We'll also be increasing our ridership checks so we can identify any lines which experience a ridership increase. We're working closely with Metrolink on any impacts they may experience. And we are also looking at some increases in service, such as on the Silver Line. I will also note, and later on under the service change, that we're going to propose in the budget a reduction in the price of the day pass from $6 to $5. And with that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you. The question I would have on the next trip, will there be like printed cards available on the buses for information for the passengers? I have access to computer or anything, that is there going to be some printed document available for passenger information?
I don't believe so. It's only accessible through a device.
On next trip, yes. It's in a test mode right now. It's going to be launching in mid-April, and it'll be a full complement of materials for both current riders and to inform.
Okay, so, I mean, there, at some point, there would be additional.
Absolutely.
Printed information you're talking about.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd just like to briefly state the next trip system is in use in the city of Glendale on our municipal system. It is very, very convenient for riders. I use it all the time. You know when the bus is going to be there, when you run out and grab it, or how long you're going to have to wait if you have time for a cup of coffee. And I'm very happy that we're implementing this for the convenience of the riders.
We had a public comment from John Walsh. I'm still in debate mode here because there is no public report available, so just reactionary comments.
John Walsh blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, 1.2 million a year, successful survey requests. I'm not against lowering the fare, the day trip, but you are rewarding the occasional riders and cutting the service of your steady riders. That's against capitalism. Why? What are you doing? Because the day riders are white tourists. We know what's going on here. And as far as the next trip, what is the point of the next trip when it's the final trip? You're cutting our service. Stop the service. It's like starving a man to death, and when you ask him, when he begs for food, handing him a fancy menu. We're not interested in when it's going to come. We're interested in if it comes. No service cuts. How do you stand? No service cuts.
Ground rules are this. There will be no applause, no outburst. Okay, I'm just giving you an upfront warning. I'm trying to be fair to everybody. We have a big item in front of us today. We've been through this process a number of times. There's been a lot of community meetings, a lot of community input. So I'm going to be as fair as I can. I'm just asking you for your cooperation up front, that we have no public outburst. I know, you know, John will try to get everybody excited, and that's fine. That's John, okay? And I understand that. But I'm just asking the rest of you for your cooperation so we can conduct a meeting, take the input, and respond accordingly. So with that said, we will proceed. Do we have 9 votes yet? On remainder, see, we got Jose has arrived. Do we have any? We have 8? Okay.
I have 2.
Oh, yeah. You have 2. You have it this week?
I drew the straw.
All right. Next, we'll take the Board of Director items. I had a motion asking the CEO to review the Breaking Down Barriers Initiative being advanced by the Orange County Transportation Authority. Just to report back, because they haven't taken a formal action. It was introduced to us at the bicameral hearing with Chairman Micah and Chairwoman Boxer. Sounds like a pretty good program that we might want to look at as an agency. And so I would move the item. I put it on the agenda. If I could have a second.
Second.
Without objection, so ordered. Thank you. All right. Is the director here that have held 7 and 13?
I like that rule.
Yeah. Huh?
I like Mr. Katz's rule. We'll perhaps take that up at EMAC.
Yeah, we will take that up, okay?
That's not fair to the rest of us, so.
All right, let's see. All right, we'll move to the regular agenda. Item 16 is the Villa Grosso Molina Katz and O'Connor motion. Do we have a staff report, or do we have any member that would like to address it?
I'll take it.
Okay. I have a public comment.
Okay.
First.
Chair.
Sure, sure. Mr. Walsh. Okay.
Be very quiet. Union Station is a total white elephant. When huge multi-billion dollar real estate moguls sell you something, they're selling you something you can't make money out of. We're building huge stations. We're going to renovate it as the ridership goes down. Since 1985, percentage of public transit trips in this county has fallen steeply. Also, it takes more trips to reach your final destination. Yet we have spent $20 billion in sales tax, and we're going down like this. And incidentally, the rules here, and of course I never break the rules, but just show me in the rules where it says no applause. These are special rules. When the white people show up here want rail, they can scream and yell and cause. But when minorities show up, unwritten rules, just
Thank
like
you.
In
Thank
apartheid.
You,
Where's the mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose here is to is to put some process in place to do something very creative and to dynamic and recognize, you know, Union Station as the transit hub that it is and the transit hub that it will be. It is the center. It's where the lines all meet. I think it's a tremendous opportunity here for us to work closely with the City of L.A. That's what this motion's about. Supervisor Ridley Thomas has a friendly amendment that we will accept that talks about the linkages and compatible building elements. All things ought to be looked at. Director Wilson raised the question of connectivity in terms of the whole Olvera Street, Alameda specific plan, all of which is envisioned to be part of the work that's done here, so we have a seamless, well thought out master plan for this area and attract some top-notch talent to work on it. So that's the purpose of this.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a historic opportunity for this agency to acquire a property with such a rich history. That being said, I also believe that there are some rich opportunities, culturally speaking, for the communities of Little Tokyo and Chinatown and Olvera Street and the others. And I believe that if we're going to be far-reaching and thinking in advance of how we can make this center a world-class attraction for the highest level of intermodal connectivity, that we need to also look at how we can make it accessible for pedestrians, connecting all these communities for those who want bicycle access as well. So I think this is a great opportunity for us.
Okay. Thank you. All right, it's been moved by Director Katz. Seconded by Director Ridley Thomas, without objection, so ordered.
As amended.
As amended.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Item 17. Should we take that after 20?
She's ready, so.
Okay.
Would you rather have something before 17?
That's up to you.
Is Conan here? Nalina, I think we'll do item 20 first.
Okay.
But we're not right now. Okay, I got to read the rest of the agenda. I'm asking on specific plan item 17. Okay.
Are we going to do 20 or 17?
No, just go ahead.
Okay. This item was carried forward from the Finance Committee. We've sent written responses to some of the clarifications that were requested by the committee. At this point, we are asking for approval of the budget planning parameters listed in your staff report. We will be using these parameters as a guide to prepare the budget. We may have to adjust them as we move, and the board will get a chance to review them in great detail through the budget approval process. So unless you have any questions, you could approve them at this point.
Right. This is the parameters we're approving. Obviously, that will be subject to change as we move forward based on issues that happen in Sacramento, Washington, and others. So.
Yeah, we'll be coming back and discussing them in great detail.
In great detail.
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve? Okay, I got someone. Esperanza Martinez, Eric Roman, and John Walsh.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. Today we are here to urge the board to reject the proposal or the piece inside the budget planning perimeters to reduce 582,000 hours of bus service. When we were at the operations committee last week at the Budget and Finance Committee, the board asked very important questions of the staff. There's about $23 million that you will save to reduce such service. The staff couldn't tell us where the money was going. We want to know where the money is going to be going. If any service comes out of the bus system, we believe that those same resources need to be reinvested back into the bus system. So we're urging this board to reject the cuts of 582,000 hours to the bus system. Thank you.
Good morning, Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. Just to continue on what my colleague said, what's disturbing, interesting, ironic about these budget planning parameters is that you finally, under the current CEO, given up on the bogeyman of the so-called deficit in the bus operations budget. You're admitting that you have plenty of money, and yet you're still saying that you're going to cut bus service in FY12 more than you've ever cut bus service before since this agency was founded. If you go through with cutting 582,000 hours, you will effectively have eliminated all the expansion that was achieved under the consent decree in half as much time as it took you to put it in place, right? You have STA money, you have Measure R money, you have Prop A, you have Prop C, you have plenty of money. The same cheese, not in financial crisis, it's spending money left and right. You're only adding 111,000 hours in bus service and you're cutting close to cutting close to 600,000 hours in bus service. We applaud the Budget and Finance Committee's decision not to recommend these parameters, and we encourage this board to reject these parameters and to force the staff to return with a different proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh?
HollywoodHighlands.org. Yeah, that's right. I'm not polite. My parents raised me not to be polite to politicians. $23 million in what, a $4 billion budget? It's chump change. It's punishment. It's and the civil, you're playing into our hands. You are under investigation by the U.S. Civil Rights violations, and you continue to cut. The other city that's under investigation is Atlanta, where they cut one-third of the bus service. St. Louis, where they cut two-thirds of the bus service. For what? To build rail, the great God rail. That's what you're talking about. And let's talk about planning. Let's talk about the rail systems you never built. How about the Burbank-Pasadena rail? Millions spent on environmental, never built. The Warner Center rail, millions spent on planning, never built. The electrical buses, millions spent, never built. You are pathetic.
Right. Okay, the items before us. Yes.
Ask a couple questions to our staff. May I ask the numbers that you're using in your forecasting? I believe I saw something in your report dealing with numbers from UCLA forecasts, and I think there was another source as well. So my question to you is that when you were putting these numbers together, did you take into account a change in the fuel prices? Number one. And also a change in the fuel consumption and how that impacts our revenue via the sales tax that we will be getting.
We looked at a lot of projections by Beacon Economics, UCLA, State Board of Equalization, and I think there is a forecast done by the County of Supervisors, County of Los Angeles. And most of those projections are higher than 2.6% that we are projecting. And the aspect of fuel going up would be part of the CPI, would be factored into the CPI, and that would make the projection.
How about the aspect of the reduced fuel consumption, given that the economy is still poor and less people are driving? Was that a part of your evaluation as well?
The fact that the fuel consumption is less would not make a difference in the projection of the sales tax growth in the projection of the sales tax revenues, right?
More of a gas tax issue than a sales tax issue.
Yeah, it's like the gas tax would get factored into the projection.
When a person purchases gasoline, is there sales tax exacted on that as well? So then there is a connection.
Yes, that would be factored in, right.
Mr. Chair,
let me just again explain. The consumption aspect of the fuel would come into the fact that maybe less people will buy fuel. However, yeah, in that respect, it would be a factor of what you're projecting the sales tax growth to be.
Yeah.
So the sales tax growth has two aspects. One is the growth in sales, one is the growth in prices to which we are applying the tax.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that as we use numbers and we want to have some level of reliability in the numbers, that we take into account, you know, things that are happening real time. Real time is that fuel prices are up, and also we know consumption of fuel is down. And so as I think the forecast had said that we were going to increase based on the economy getting better, I think 2.5% or something like 2.6%. But I also want to make sure that staff is looking at when they put these numbers out here, because we're going to be relying on these numbers for funds, you know, operating funds and the like, that they also take into account those variables as well.
Yes, sir. I would like to just comment on gasoline tax. The Federal Transportation Program has been funded for 50 years out of gasoline taxes. They are dropping and have been for 10 or 15 years now because of more fuel-efficient automobiles. So until net travel miles is now down over the past couple of years, first time in history, but gasoline consumption is dropping. Right now, one of the proposals in the House by the Republican majority is to reduce the federal program by 20% because gasoline revenues are down. So now we don't know what shape that will take because there is no bill yet, but we'll have to monitor that very carefully. There are really two pressures occurring in Los Angeles now. One is gasoline prices, which in 3 years ago affected principally the longer trips, certainly Metrolink and the longer MTA trips. But also employment is down. So, you know, those two things are kind of countervailing one to the other.
Okay. But it's increased our ridership as well, too.
And lastly, Mr. Chair, this item, I believe item 17, I think there is a connectivity to item number 20. So right. I'm wondering if it's prudent for us to take item 17 up before we take item number 20 up.
I asked the same question. I mean, these are parameters. You can do what you want. I mean, if we want to pull the items, we're sticking on the table till we do 20. But these are just parameters. So Would you prefer to do 20 before we finish 17?
Yes.
Excuse me?
I would go with the body. I mean, whatever the body has.
We'll certainly take cognizance of whatever the board does with item 20. We'll incorporate that into our projection.
Because it is parameters.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second before us on item 17. Any objection? So be the order. Item 18. I understand you might want to explain the recommendation coming out of planning and programming. It was approved 4-0, but approval of recommendations B and E and forwarded recommendations A, C, and D to the full board without recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, and good morning. Item 18 is the 2011 Los Angeles County Transportation Improvement Program. Recommendations B and E were forwarded to this with a recommendation to approve. Recommendations A, C, and D were not. They were forwarded without recommendation. We today want to offer to report back to you once a month on any delegated actions taken under those recommendations A, C, and D. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about the report.
Any questions from Mr. Fasana?
Yes, thank you. I had a question that the committee, which has not been answered as of yet, related to
reconciliation of the budgets. I mean, when I look at the budget for the congestion reduction demonstration, I see a different line item than I do in this attachment. My concern, which grows since I haven't received the response yet, is whether we may be retroactively approving funds that may have been moved, and I hope this is not the case. But I would ask that we, that I receive that explanation before we move these other items forward. It sounds like we're getting a report back on a monthly basis, which is being offered. I think there should be a procedure to codify that, that we are being notified in terms of funding adjustments, and that we have the opportunity to review those. I'm willing to approve B and E today, and if we take A and C and D with that procedure next month, and if I can get my question answered before next month's cycle, I'd appreciate that as well. So I'm willing to move B and E today.
You're recommending, your motion is to approve B and E and then refer A, C, and D, defer till next month's meeting when you get an answer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, you got a second?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think we have an opportunity here. There's a place in our board agenda today where we're going to be instructing staff to move forward on transitioning our fleet from the current emission types of vehicles, the level of emissions, to a low or super low and a zero emissions fleet. And I think we, if we want to leverage what we're doing with respect to transit throughout the region, there's a good part of what we provide as a service that comes from the dollars that finance or purchases vehicles for access transit, as well as the van pool. So I think if we're going to be consistent in our strategy to reduce the emissions in the region, then it would make sense for us to also instruct the CEO and staff to look at putting evaluation criteria in place for the purchase of van pool vehicles and access transit vehicles and transitioning over time. We're not saying they're going to immediately be required to drop their fleet and now become zero or low emission, but I think it makes sense for us to use what leverage we have to reduce emissions as much as possible throughout the region. And I would ask if whomever made the motion on this item that they would willing to accept an amendment to the motion to allow us to instruct staff to begin to transition from the current emission vehicles that we have in access transit and van pooling to low and zero emission vehicles.
Formal action or as a report back? I mean, in other words, there's a cost to that. So before we just say do it, You know, that has to be part of the budgetary process.
That's fine, but what we're saying really is that we're not asking any more dollars to go anywhere. All we're saying is that in the evaluation criteria, when we make these grants out to these various providers.
I'll accept that motion.
Okay.
Yes.
May I add an amendment? Mr. Walsh?
At HollywoodHighlands.org. What you're doing here is cutting funding levels by virtue of planning to the working low-income people. In fact, that's what the D.C. Republicans were doing. And yesterday we saw the mayor on television screaming and yelling at them, saying, how dare you cut funding levels to the working poor? That was to get on television with all the movie stars. You don't see him here now. Because he has a deal. He's at home. And you know what he does when he's at home. And you know which channel he does it to. I'm telling you right now, we want the mayor here before you vote on this one or any, and Zev. Zev's not here because he's
the mayor. Mr. Walsh, you addressed the item before us. I will run the meeting.
I would say don't vote. Unless the mayor and Zev are here, and let's have everybody vote.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Upfront
racism.
Thank you. Okay, the item is before us as amended, without objection, so ordered. Okay, I'm going to ask, where'd Zev go? He's here.
I didn't see him.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Your mic's on.
Okay, would you call out the two-thirds items, please, that are still carry over from the consent calendar? All right. Okay. All right, let's go to item 19 then. Okay. Excuse me. Just sit down there, Doug, and we'll do it. Okay, items 3, 4, 10, and 11. The chair would entertain a motion. It's a consent calendar item. Okay, it's been moved and seconded without objection, so ordered. Okay, item 19.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item 19 is an approval item. It's on the I-710 South Corridor project. This is a South End utility relocation study. We are performing the environmental document on this project. We recognize there's an exceedingly complex series of utilities, particularly along this corridor with UP and with Southern Cal Edison, DWP, and particularly in the South End, a lot of buried lines. We've negotiated a contract with AECOM to advance the work on that utility.
So. All right. I heard of a motion. Pardon me. Got public comment on item 19. Okay. All right, no public comment. Okay.
Question?
Yes, Mr. Fasano.
Is there a reason this wasn't sent to a committee?
Committee didn't meet.
Okay, thank you.
That's the reason.
Good reason.
Good, really good reason. Really good. All right, without objection, so ordered. Okay, now we'll go to item number 20.
Mr. Chair, I want to make a few comments before Conan and Scott make their formal presentation. In the budget proposal, which we will make to you next month, we will have a number of important budgetary themes. One of them is to improve the quality of our service. I sent out a report yesterday which outlined the improvements which have occurred over the past year and a half or so. Most noteworthy is better schedule reliability. What that does is to balance loads and create a better quality service for our customers. At the same time, we need to run an efficient system. We need to be frugal, and that means when we have services which are less effective and less well utilized, we need to be willing to make those reductions. And so that's the reason for the service reductions which are before you now. I will also note in the budget proposal we'll bring forward next month, We will suggest that the board consider reducing the day pass from $6 to $5. The point of this is that as we create an integrated system, people will need to transfer from train to train or bus to bus or bus to train or whatever. And so this makes it less costly for a person who has to so do. I want to note that the primary goal behind these recommendations is to reduce our less productive service. At the same time, there is a secondary impact, and that is a savings of funds. This is important because we have faced for a period of years a deficit situation. The budget which we will propose, if these changes are approved, will be a balanced budget, and it will include a number of themes such as increased maintenance. We have a great deal of deferred maintenance in the system on facilities and rolling stock. It will include increased attention to a real-time service management to improve schedules. It will include better cycles of heavy maintenance, painting the buses and so forth, all to improve reliability. I do know, as described yesterday, that about 212 positions will be reallocated, reinvested into direct service activities and such things as fixed post service management, better attention to real-time service management from radio dispatch and field. We will have a relatively increased investment in bus cleanliness and maintenance, in body work or repair work to make sure the buses are reliable. And in station cleanliness and bus stop cleanliness, a total of 212 FTEs reallocated to focus on those exact and important functions. I will note that when we look at service levels, it is appropriate and useful to consider them in the context of changes which have occurred over the past 25 years. 25 years ago, LA MTA was basically the only game in town. Over those past 25 years, we've seen major growth in the service offered by the municipal carriers. Round numbers up from about 1 million per year. MTA now funds about 4 million hours of service, very nearly 4 million hours of service from the munis. During that same time period, we've opened up 6 rail lines, which are part of the category or the stock of transit. And in addition to that, we have opened the Metrolink services, which now carry people into Los Angeles and other locations, which represents on a one-for-one basis cars off the freeway and improves mobility. With that, let me turn it over to Conan and Scott and ask them to go through the recommendations.
Great. Good morning. This is Conan Chung, DEO of Operations Service Development. I'm joined with by Scott Page, the manager of service planning. I wanted to start with the service change philosophy. I apologize for the font. It changed on me a little bit. But as Mr. Leahy mentioned, these are prudent efforts and actions that we need to take in order to optimize the system relative to the changes in the regional transit network and the demand and capacity that we have. As Mr. Leahy mentioned, now the muni operators represent about 30% of our regional bus system, so it's important that we coordinate and reduce duplication with them. We do have the rail lines, so we need to make sure that we're integrated with them. These are actions and strategic movements that the Blue Ribbon Committee charged us with being able to move forward with. We want to make the system more efficient and manageable, which results in better service quality. Mr. Leahy mentioned a number of efforts that we're underway with. And just to quote some of the progress that we've made over the last couple years, our on-time performance has improved 20% from the low 60s to about 77% today. Our bus reliability has also improved by 11%, and our complaints are down by about 10%. So we are moving in the right direction with these changes. The elements of the June service changes, there's really 4 key elements to simplify, reduce duplication, and better coordinate our services. We have opportunities to streamline harbor transitway services. We're continuing to evaluate our Metro Rapid program and making adjustments along those corridors. And then we're getting ready for the Expo rail line opening with the bus rail interface plan. Before I get into the details of those elements, I wanted to talk a little bit about our outreach effort. We've done a significant amount of outreach, more than we have done in the past. We held 6 public hearings. That's one more than we normally do. We actually had a hearing here as a regional hearing. Mr. Leahy convened a group of transit advocates to really scrub through all of the details of our proposals and give us some good comments and criticism in terms of how we can adjust the changes that we're proposing. We distributed about 100,000 take ones. We actually went out on the street. We didn't want to ask people to come to us all the time. We went out to about 7 different locations, major transit hubs, key stations, and so forth, to really talk to the public, provide them with the information so that they had it in their hands and they didn't have to come to us to get it. We put rider bulletins out on the buses, and we had information on Metro.net. We also went to talk to our employees at the divisions. Well, we talked to them about how to improve the system, how to improve the running times for better on-time performance. We conducted numerous field observations and rode with the operators. So even though we have a lot of data that we rely on in terms of coming up with the proposals, we really want to vet this through on the street and with our public to make sure that these proposals did make sense. We didn't just log those comments. We actually took those to heart and took those into consideration. This is a table that talks a little bit about how we changed the program from the initial program to now. And as a point of fact, we actually reduced the program from about a 400,000-hour reduction to about a 300,000-hour reduction. So that actually took about 25% of the proposals off the table. In fact, when you look at this chart, it says 5 total proposals were withdrawn based on comments. We've actually increased that to about 7 proposals. We took a few off just recently based on additional comments that we've received and further vetting. Now, to get into the actual changes, the first category in terms of simplifying, reducing duplication, and better coordinating our services, really we look at identifying lines with parallel local services that are within a quarter mile to half mile distance in either direction. We want to analyze the routes and route segments that are duplicated by other bus and rail services, and again, right-size those corridors based on the demand that we have. These 4 were the final recommendations, and in fact, we actually took the 71 line change off the table as well, which was to terminate weekday, midday trips and all weekend trips at Cesar Chavez and Alameda Streets. We took that off. We didn't see the as much of a benefit from that as we thought. Another recommendation, the 577, we're discontinuing service west of the VA hospital in Long Beach, but that still allows people to take a one-seat ride to the VA hospital, either on the Metro service on 577 going north and south, or on about 5 different Long Beach transit lines going east and west on 7th Street. And again, this is really talking about better coordinating our services with the municipal operators. When we're looking at the Harbor Transit Way, as you can see on the top bar graph or line graph, we currently have three different services that really duplicate each other from Artesia Transit Center into downtown LA. We have the 445 that starts in San Pedro, goes through the transit center and then all the way into downtown LA. The 450X and the Silver Line both also go from Artesia Transit Center to downtown. Our original proposal was to discontinue the 445 and 450X, only run a local service from San Pedro to Artesia Transit Center, and have everybody transfer over to the Silver Line to get into downtown. However, based on public comment that we received at the South Bay Service Council, we decided to modify this proposal. We're still maintaining the one-seat ride during the peak hours from San Pedro all the way to downtown through Artesia Transit Center by combining the 450X with the local portions of the 445. And then during the base day and on the weekends when we have less demand, we'll do the original proposal, which is to run a local service from San Pedro to Artesia Transit Center and have people transfer over to the Silver Line. So again, this represents a modification that we made based on the comments that we received from the public. Right-sizing Metro Rapid Corridors. The Rapid program has been out for over a decade, and it's time to really go through and scrub through the program and see where it makes sense to have rapids and where it makes sense not to have rapids. There are trade-offs having rapids in the sense that while they do provide faster speeds for longer distance trips, what happens is that you have less service at the local bus stops that the rapids don't provide service to. You also have a difference in speeds, which results in an inconsistent combined headway because the rapid runs at a different speed than the local. So in corridors where we don't see a distinct longer distance travel market and we don't see a large speed differential, our proposals are to discontinue the rapid and add as much service as we need to on the local line in order to meet the capacity. So the recommendations are listed on the right in terms of the the lines that we were proposing to discontinue. One note, though, is that given the recent comments that we have been receiving quite a bit on the 757 on Western, we decided to change that proposal. We're only looking at discontinuing the 757 on weekends only. We'll keep the service on the weekdays. We'll add articulated buses on the 207 to provide additional capacity on the local line. And we're proposing to adjust capacity on both lines based on the load standard. So we did change that one. We sort of took most of that proposal off the table. And then finally, the Expo Rail Bus Rail Interface Plan. Again, our objectives are to discontinue or reduce competing duplicative services. And we also want to divert parallel and intersecting services to serve the new rail stations. One point to note on this one, as we went through the public process, when we went to the South Bay Service Council, they approved the changes, but they requested that we do not make the changes until 90 days after the implementation of the Expo line. If the bus services are so delayed, we should expect ridership on Expo to be much less than what we would hope for until 3 months into the operations. So that is a point that I wanted to bring up if we do delay the implementation of the Expo Bus Rail Interface Plan. With that, finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Title VI requirements. We did go through our Title VI analysis on the entire program. It does show that any disproportionately adverse impacts of the program that we did identify, we noted that they can all be mitigated by alternative services, and that those alternative services have been identified within the board report itself. So with board approval, the service changes will be in effect June 26, 2011, and we'll start notifying customers with brochures and whatnot in early June. And that concludes my presentation.
Are there any questions of staff prior to going to public comment? Yes. Director Molina.
Can I just ask a general question?
You're on.
All right. First of all, I appreciate the work that's been done. I think it's very thoughtful and very thorough, although I don't have and haven't looked at the complete and total report, the public outreach and so on. How many people testify at your public hearings on average?
We had a significant amount, and in fact, if you look at all the
how many on average,
we had actually a total individual respondents of 389.
389
on average.
Not total, at each total. One. That's the people who spoke, as well as emails that we received. On average, at the public hearing, ma'am.
Because you had six public hearings, right?
Yeah, on average, probably the largest number of people that spoke were right here. The average number was about 20 at each of the service council meetings.
I see. Because one of the things that Mr. Leahy said that's troublesome to me, and I want to understand it, is this a number we back into, or is this a review of bus lines? Because you said it's for budget reasons. And if you're saying it's for budget reasons, I think we need to approve that before you start the process. Only because I appreciate, and I have been supportive of service cuts in the past, not for budget reasons. I support them because they're duplicative services. They're not being fully utilized, although I still look at the standards. I'm not sure exactly what that means when they look at the standards. We asked that question a couple of years back. And I appreciate that the service councils go through a very rigorous process of reviewing all of it. But I'm still troubled by the fact is, do we pick a number and say this year 3.5% cuts or 5% cuts? Or is it, let's look at all of our services, and next year we're going to look. There's a lot of duplication here. I could appreciate all the Expo lines. I don't understand them all. If they are duplications and we're going to get back online, then that's understandable. But in the process, I was troubled by what you said. This is a budget target number we need to get to, because I don't see that being approached when you're adding on staff, asking for higher salaries, and other kinds of areas where we just keep upping budgets, and in this one, it's now a budget target to lower it. So correct me if I'm wrong, because you did say that.
Well, I would like to maybe explain the process. Back maybe 6 months ago, we discussed this. I did not give Conan a budget target to make. I said to him, let's run efficient service. So review the system. Where there are services which are underutilized, let's take corrective actions. At no time was a financial target established. These changes are not driven by the budget. There's a dual point here. They are driven by identifying and remediating underutilized service. That's the point I did say a moment ago, but there is a beneficial byproduct, and that is we save money, and we're making a reinvestment, and that will take us out of the deficit situation we would otherwise be in.
I understand, but we don't use that same logic and understanding when we're adding budgeted positions as we did last month. And I'm concerned about that. And so I just want us to understand, if this is a budget target, I can appreciate that that's what it is. But it's a budget target that this board should set, because I don't want us cutting back on services to reach a certain budget target. I'm willing to cut back and eliminate services when they're duplicative. We aren't getting the full ridership. We aren't pulling, you know, in people. But right now I'm seeing a lot of these changes that even in the full report, I don't know. I know I'm asking questions on some of my lines because that's the only ones I've gotten. But I do hope that that is not the case, because I'm getting that impression because it keeps being said every so often. Any cut will help your budget. But if we are saying we have to hit a certain target, then I have a problem with that when it comes to
service. There was no target established, none whatsoever. We didn't even discuss a target. Moreover, the initial package was around 400,000 hours, and now it's at 300,000 hours. Conan, you may want to, you know, feel free to say whatever you want.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that as well. Just to clarify, the point is that we did start out with a lot more changes that we thought would make sense in terms of reducing the duplication, better integration, and so forth. It turned out that that package was about 400,000 hours of reductions. But going through and vetting through those proposals with the public and really seeing from their perspective what the impacts are, we actually added back some proposals, and we took some off the table. We added some services on some lines. For example, on line 94 in the 794, our original proposal was to discontinue the 794 and on weekends and have people basically transfer from the 94 to the 224 to get up the entire length of San Fernando Road. Well, when we started looking at that transfer point, that location, it's not a really safe and it's not a really comfortable place to wait for a bus. And because of that, we decided to run the entire 94 all the way up the length of the corridor just to provide that one-seat ride so that people didn't have to deal with that extra burden of that transfer. So we did go back and make some rational adjustments to the proposals, and as a result, we reduced our number of hours saved from 400,000 to 300,000 hours. So we did go back and vet through all of these.
Just say that I appreciate these kinds of explanations. I think they're very helpful to us in fully understanding what approach was used. But I am still somewhat concerned as to the constant reductions. I could see the reductions when we're putting another line, like Expo is going to go on. Then you see a series of reductions. But when you're looking at service cuts, let's say weekend and things of that sort, I want it to be for a purpose. And I don't think those parameters are fully established. I know you review them and you look at them, but as compared to what? So I appreciate your answers, and I appreciate the work and the diligence that's been done, but I still am concerned about how this approach is taken. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other question before we go to public comment?
Yes.
Wilson.
Thank you. First of all, I want to commend the staff and Mr. Leahy for the extraordinary work that your staff is doing in trying to figure out how we can provide better service to our customers, the riders. And I also want to thank the staff for their outreach. And it's important for us to know what our customers are thinking and what they want. I want to thank you for looking at ways to be more efficient, so that we can eliminate duplications when it does not cause a hardship on those who are in need of transit the most. I want us to be reminded that we are a regional authority, That being said, we're not just in this by ourselves. We do have partners, the muni operators. We do have access transit. We have vanpool, carpool. So we're to provide service at every different level of modality. And so it's not an issue, as I see it, of just providing bus service. It's providing the best service that we can to our riders, our customers. In some cases, the bus is the best vehicle to do that. In other cases, other modes of transportation is a better way to do it. And that being said, I want to make sure that as we move forward with anything dealing with service reductions, that we need to know from you, staff, if we were to adopt these types of policies that you're recommending, where are those dollars that are going to be saved reinvested? Are they going to be reinvested to those who are the most dependent on transit as they are our prime customers? Will these dollars be reinvested with making our buses cleaner, more on time, more efficient? And so I don't think I have enough information today to answer all those questions, and perhaps you're in a position to more clearly articulate the answers to those questions. At this time, what I'd like to do is introduce a motion, which is a change in item number 20. I think many of you, my colleagues, have this motion, and so I would ask for a second to that. If I could do that, sir.
The intent of the motion is just for more reports back. It's not to delay any action here today. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, the intent is certainly to give us more facts. I'm not sure if we're staff is prepared to give us all those facts today. I'm not sure if it's going to create a tremendous hardship on this agency if we delay this for a 30-day period at least, for us to at least get back, hear back from those who are our riders. And this is not an issue in my mind of bus versus rail. This is an issue of can we provide the most efficient, cost-effective, clean, on-time service that we possibly can, and those dollars that we're going to save through reductions in service on one way, will they be reinvested in another way to improve our level of service to our customers overall?
There are really two benefits which accrue as a consequence of the economies, maybe three. One is we run better service. We've been inattentive to service quality, and so we've remediated that by running more service, which is the most expensive, least effective path, but that's the path we've been on. By running better service, we get a better service for the rider. We are not proposing to reduce maintenance or service management personnel, thus the 212 positions. They are not being reduced in proportion. So 41 of those people get focused on real-time service management, which is important. It was in a memo the other day. And a total of 212 positions are being reallocated towards maintenance activities. We have hundreds of millions of dollars of deferred maintenance, things of that nature. We need to start addressing those issues. At the same time, however, there is a reduction in cost here, which allows us to address a deficit situation, which will otherwise exist, which is not sustainable. I don't believe, Conan, a one-month delay is possible. If we defer now, we will slip the June shakeup, and it would go either to September or December.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of work on behind the scenes that we have to do in order to create the schedules and get the bid packages ready within the contractual obligation that we have to our operators. So,
okay. Mr. Fasana, then Director Rudy Thomas.
Yes, a couple questions. In looking through the changes on Tier 2 and 3, there was one for 176 and 287, where it indicates to interline 287 with 176 at El Monte Station, and basically goes on to say that the route will remain unchanged. Does that route continue then up through South Pasadena?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it still has connectivity to the Gold Line station there?
Yes, sir. Actually, this came out of... it's actually a benefit that came out of our public hearing process. We had proposed to cancel Line 176 west of San Gabriel, and people came forward and said they wanted to get to South Pasadena and they wanted to get to the Gold Line. At the same time, we'd proposed widening the headway on the 287 to every 60 minutes, and that's based on the fact that it's a poor performer and the demand's not there. Well, the scheduling folks came to me and they said, you know, we got a way to improve the 176 and keep it end-to-end. Right now it's on a 70-minute headway in the base period. By hooking it with the 287, we can provide service every 45 minutes on the 176. So the base period and early morning and late night person that was waiting 70 minutes will only wait 45 minutes now for the bus. So it became a win-win for both sides of the house. We got better service for the patron, and we maintained the line.
You know, I just want to follow up, and I appreciate that response. I think what's before us, I think there are obviously concerns in terms of the changes of the service. I think Director Wilson earlier brought up a point in terms of the van pools and clean van pools. I support the motion that's going to be brought forward in terms of the additional information back, but I think it has to look at all the ways that we move people and how those have changed over the years, and not just focus on bus or focus on rail. I think we need to focus on all that we have. And I also think delaying, part of the concern I have is I think the state has delayed many times, many cuts that you could argue would have been lesser in prior years, and when they continually are delayed, when cumulatively you have to respond, you end up responding in a deeper way. So I'm supportive of the adjustments that have been laid out. I think staff spent a lot of time, and I think Director Wilson really put staff through the paces at the operations committee. We spent a substantial amount of time going through each line on a line-by-line basis of the changes that were being proposed, the thought process that was involved, and why the changes were being made. I think the process was very useful. It's clear to me that staff has thought this out. I'm supportive of those adjustments, mindful of also the benefit of getting the information back in the motion.
Yeah, in reading the motion, I'll go ahead, Director Ruby Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I suggest the following, that the prudence that the staff seeks to display is to be saluted. And yet I think the board has every reason and obviously every right to push further to satisfy itself that the cuts that would be proposed are fair, and that we can fully embrace the consequences. I'm not persuaded at this point that the staff has effectively made its case. Even today, more information is surfacing that is instructive. I do not take the position that staff cannot make its case, but the questions that are being posed in the motion that's before us, Mr. Chair and directors, are substantive. They take us to a level of pinning this matter down in a substantial way, not the least of which is to evaluate a series of cuts to service that have happened over the past 24 months approximately, and to quantify how many series of cuts have taken place. These are all instructive. The point has been made, again, that the staff has sought to apprise each board member, I presume, of the specific impacts to the area that each of us may represent. It would be of interest and of note to me how thorough that has been, to the extent that board members are fully cognizant of the impacts, the consequences to their respective areas of jurisdiction narrowly defined, and then to step back from that in the aggregate and see what is happening to the reduction in service and where it is most acutely felt. These, in my mind, are questions that can, should be further vetted. And to the extent that that is the case, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I do have on readiness as it relates to moving today, and we'll probably reflect that accordingly as we seek to dispose of the matter.
We'll go to public comment unless there are any more board comments.
I have a question.
Okay.
I just want to know what the costs are of
right.
delaying. I'm sorry. I'll say it again. I just want to know what the costs are of delaying the item.
Well, one cost is we continue to run underutilized service. Dollarizing that, it depending upon when the shakeup would be, it would be no later than December, so we would lose half of the savings if we proceeded at that time. So what is that, $25 million?
Well, I think we need to know specifically, not guess, but really specifically.
Specifically, it would be the gross savings on an annual basis of this would be about $32 million.
Mr. Chair, so we would respectfully. The director.
Can he answer, please?
Well, yes, but you shouldn't be in a position here guessing. It's a very straightforward question, and it ought to be, you know, really definitively answered. I think that's really important. Not, I guess, around $32 million or $25 million. We need to get a real answer.
Mr. Chair, can I respond to that since it was my question?
Yeah, you may.
He's
the chair.
That's why I asked him if I could respond to it. I understand what you're saying about wanting exact numbers, but if you wait for exact numbers, you're delaying. And I don't want to say, oops, I didn't do my job as well as I should have because this costs twice as much as it should.
Uh-huh.
So I'm comfortable with, based on what information is available, to take a, I don't want to say a guesstimate, but to pull a number in the magnitude. We're not talking about $10 here. We're talking about millions of dollars, and I just think it's important that we know what that is.
The gross saving.
Mr. Katz, please.
I'm sorry. $32 million?
That's why I asked if you could answer.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
We got the total answer.
The gross savings would be $32 million. So if we delay it 6 months, then we would save $16 million. The other issue that we were talking about, and Mr. Leahy mentioned it, is that part of this savings, roughly $9 million precisely of the $32 million, would be basically redeployed reinvestment into the system to improve the on-time performance of the system, to improve the reliability of the buses, the safety and cleanliness at the stations and on the vehicles. So if we do delay this, we won't have those resources to be able to reinvest back in to provide better service within the bus system.
Okay. Mr. Katz?
Quick question. The change between before the cuts, after the cuts, in terms of system capacity, more capacity, less capacity?
The change in the system, if we talk about, let's say, productivity, passengers per hour, before the cuts, it would be we're running at about 51 passengers per hour in terms of how many people we provide service to per hour of service that we provide. When you look at our peer agencies, you look at New York and Chicago, even San Francisco and whatnot, they average about 55 passengers per hour. After the cuts, we would be at 53 passengers per hour. So we're not quite at that productivity level, the average level of our peers, but we're moving in that direction.
But the overall system, is there more or less capacity in the system after the cuts are made?
There's less capacity in the system, but that's relative to the ridership that we have today. So we're still carrying people based on the 1.3 load factor, which means essentially on a 40-seat bus, you have 52 people. We did an analysis. If you really look at standees on a bus, they're not standing the entire length of the route. What they're doing is they're standing for, let's say, we looked at one as an example, the line 71, that does have standees on it. Generally speaking, that those standees are standing probably about 9 minutes of their trip, or about 9 stops or so, because you have a lot of ons and offs. So as people get off, you have a seat, you get on, you don't. But the way that the ridership goes is that you build along the line, you pick up more people, and when you get to, let's say, a rail station or a major destination, everyone gets off the bus. So usually it's within the last couple miles where you're going to have some standees.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to build on that outline. The really damaging effect of poor service management is that the headways are not consistent. As a consequence, the loads are not consistent. So you'll have one bus which is very overcrowded, and you'll have another bus which is underutilized. To the people on the crowded bus, there is one fact in evidence, and that is there isn't enough service being provided. The problem with that diagnosis is it's incorrect. The overload is a function of poor service management. Now, the problem with the diagnosis is it takes you to a remedy, that is to add a bus, which is the most expensive and least effective solution. A far more cost-effective solution which addresses the problem is to do a better job of service management and reliability. Thus, the investment in real-time service management and maintenance which we're seeking to accomplish.
Okay, any other comments? Yes,
briefly. Mr. Leahy or Mr. Chung, did these changes, proposed changes, go through the service sectors?
Yes, they went through the service sectors several different times. We provided the information initially to them before they voted to actually take them to public hearing. Then we had the vetting through the public hearing itself. And then finally, we had another presentation to them to ask them for approvals. So all of these have been vetted three times over by each of the councils.
Wow. So each service sector council, there's five of them?
Correct.
Are there? And each one of them approved these changes?
Correct.
At least three times?
They vetted through them three times, and they made the final approvals on the third go-around.
Okay. Now, when I used to be on the service sector, and when I was on the service sector, it was a broad range of stakeholders. There were elected officials, there were bus riders, business owners, blue-collar workers. Is that still the composition of the of the service sector council?
Yes, yes. It is.
Okay, is there any reason that you know that we should disregard the recommendations from the service sector councils? I mean, No. Were they improperly presented? Was there a bias exhibited? Were the bus riders excluded from the deliberations of those service sector councils?
No, absolutely not. It was a very fair vetting. In fact, Mr. Hilmer, who is the director of service councils, he actually goes out and rides the lines with many of the service sector members so that they can see firsthand what the proposals are, where the proposals are being proposed, and what the impacts are on the ridership. So they're out there on the street. They're not just looking at our data. And they're listening to the public as they come.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, we'll proceed then with the sure.
I just wanted to raise one question that I discussed with Mr. Leahy the other day, and just get it on the record, because I understand that you've accepted our logic
on Western Avenue.
On the Western Avenue line, and so I want to just to get it out on the table. That the line 207 and line 757, which are the local and the rapids on Western, you would cancel the weekend rapid service because it's very anemic, and then use the articulated bus for the local and the one coach bus for the rapid, because the local has the predominant ridership, and I think
correct.
And then keep the weekday service on the 207 and 757 with those, with flipping the type of vehicle.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Then we're going to proceed to public comments. First of all, John Walsh. I'm going to call in three. Walsh Scheidler and Esperanza Martinez will be the first three speakers.
Feel free to applaud. He's not going to arrest you. Not with these cameras here. The mayor isn't here to vote for his own special motion. Where is he? Zev?
He's right here.
He finally showed up. Where were you? Just jumped out of bed? These are five fingers. These are my less productive fingers.
Mr. Walsh,
they're
would you address
cut
the board?
My five less productive fingers off because they're duplicative. Longer waits,
More transfers, more standing. That's what the mayor is giving us. And you know what John Boehner said, Mr. Mayor, when you accused him yesterday of not of cutting service with the working poor? Mr. Mayor, he said it was duplicative service. And you want to cut our service now. The 217 ZEV has gone to Fairfax to downtown for 50 years. You're going to cut it.
Thank
the
you,
mayor
John.
Pretends he's
Ollie?
Not listening. He's
Ollie?
Listening to everything
Ollie,
I say.
Then Esperanza. Thank
Look
you,
at
Mr.
Him.
Walsh.
Look at him.
Your time's up.
Thank you.
We're looking at you. Thank you. Wally, and then Esperanza, followed by Eric Roman.
That's a hard act to follow.
Good morning.
Chair Kanabe, board members, Mr. Leahy, Metro staff. I'm a member of the Gateway Cities Metro Service Council and have been for the last 8 years. Personally, I do not like to make reductions in service. However, we need to improve efficiency and productivity. The Metro Service Councils have been established for almost 8 years. We were tasked with reviewing and approving or rejecting the proposed service changes for June 2011. We were presented with staff proposals, conducted public hearings in order to listen to our valued customers. We then reviewed staff's proposals and customer comments, and we either approved, modified, or rejected the proposals. Hopefully, this board will trust the decisions made by the sector councils and approve the modified service changes presented here today. Thank you very much for your time.
Esperanza,
good morning.
Followed by Eric, followed by Angel Flores.
My name is Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. MTA's staff is a little bit out of touch with reality and your customers. You propose cuts that will add 1 hour to a person's travel time and money to their fare. 3 months ago, your CEO was talking about how these cuts were about efficiency and duplicative service. Today, you're talking about it has to do with the budget. The reality is that staff is being disingenuous. These resources are not going to go back into the bus system. If we're talking about a more efficient system, then let's reinvest these resources back into the bus system. Both the director of operations, your CEO, have said that in order for the rail expansion program to be sustainable, these cuts need to be made. So where is the justice here? Where is the efficiency? This isn't going back into the system. Your riders have long ago caught on. You should talk to the people that are sitting in this audience, the standees in the audience, whether or not they find a seat within 5 minutes. It's not true. We asked this board to delay moving forward on these service cuts and to reject the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Esperanza. Eric, Angel, and then Malcolm Klugman.
So Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union, we support the motion from Directors Villaraigosa and Molina and Wilson to ask the staff to provide more information. We do think the staff, basically we think the staff has not done a thorough enough analysis, right? The questions that are posed do not really look at whether or not the impacts, what the real impacts on riders are going to be of these cuts. And you can ask anyone in this room who's a bus rider what the impacts will be, and they'll tell you for real, right? What's also not discussed here is 70,000 hours out of the 305,000 that are on the table right now are invisible reductions that are all throughout the system. They're shortlining and trip thinning, service being reduced all throughout the county. We need to have a discussion about that. Those are not inefficient lines. Those are lines that are just taking a cut, taking a hit because this agency wants to trim from the bus system, right? Moving quickly to the service sector councils are not actually given the option to push back on what the agency asked them to do, right? They don't have the option to say, no, we actually only want to cut 50,000 hours instead of 350,000 hours.
They have that right to make that recommendation. Thank
so
you.
They don't,
Angel,
because you Angel insist first, that they fall within the parameters.
Buckman. And then Rudy Schwartz.
Soy Ángel Flores, soy jornalero, trabajo en los diferentes centros de trabajo de la ciudad.
My name is Ángel Flores and I'm a day laborer and I work at different work centers in the city.
Trabajo al día. El 90% de mis compañeros nos ganamos la vida trabajando del diario. El transporte para nosotros es muy importante.
So I work during the day, and 90% of me and my coworkers depend on what we make in that one day.
Nosotros sufrimos cuando vamos a saber que van a aumentar el transporte o cuando van a hacer esta reducción que están proponiendo.
We depend on bus service, and we are extremely affected when this agency talks about raising fares and reducing bus service.
Es como si nos dieran una puñalada por la espalda al saber que nuestra economía, a pesar de ser precaria por causa de la crisis, todavía ustedes nos dan más para abajo todavía.
It's like hitting us from behind, considering that the economic crisis has already affected us.
Yo quisiera, señores, que se pusieran la mano en el corazón y se pusieran en el lugar del pobre.
I want to ask you all to put yourselves in the shoes of poor people.
Tal parece que esta sociedad los pobres les estorban, señores.
It seems like in this society, poor people are a burden.
Tenemos familia.
We have families.
Somos padres de familia.
We're
luchamos
parents.
Por ellos. Venimos a trabajar por ellos.
We fight for them, and we come to this country to work for them.
Queremos que la sociedad sea un poco más igualitaria para así poder lograr los objetivos que tenemos propuestos.
We would like for the society to be more equal and to be more just so that we're able to meet our collective goals.
Hagan lo mejor que puedan con esta proposición. Vuélvela a reestudiar, ¿verdad? Que sea lo que tenga que salir, pero por favor, ya no dañen más a los pobres, por favor.
So we ask that you do the best that you can with this proposal to study it more deeply and so that it doesn't hurt poor people.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Malcolm, followed by Rudy Schwartz, followed by Julia Wallace.
I thought John's thing was a little inaccurate. He was talking about one hand or the other. Basically, you present them, the councils with, I have the mic right here. It's not working. Not my fault. Anybody want to fix this sucker or what? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, but first thing, before the clocks, I want to ask a question. When they present something, I want a copy of that in writing out there. We haven't gotten copies of that, what they presented. Okay, the analogy was wrong. What is it? You present to these councils, here we're going to cut your hand off. Can you only cut off two fingers? Okay, we'll take that, you know. That's what's wrong. Coordination with the different elements of the county and the municipal services. If we had coordination, those gates would work down there, right? They don't work. Does anybody here know the fares of what's the fare in Culver City? What's the fare in Glendale? Nobody. You have to coordinate all that stuff. The other thing is, if you're going to hand off service to the municipal thing, why there's a blue bus that comes right out here to Union Station. Why doesn't Santa Monica say, well, the hell with it. We'll take it to the line of Los Angeles and let you take them downtown. That's what's going to happen. You're cutting service and it's wrong.
You are Rudy, and then Julia Wallace, followed by Eros Rice.
First of all, I want to say good morning to everybody, Mr. Councilman, Mayor, Supervisors. My name is Rudy Schwartz. I'm a past commander and the current service officer for the American Legion Highland Park Post 206, which we renamed Corporal Tiber Rubin, Holocaust survivor, POW, Medal of Honor recipient. What I'm here for is I work at the Long Beach VA. Now, if you were to remove the 577, all the veterans that live in the South Bay, Cabrillo Beach, U.S. Vets in Inglewood, and also the one on Pacific Coast Highway, the 577 runs from Monday through Friday. A lot of vets go on there. I actually lead by example. I take vets on this line from the blue line to the 577. If you were to eliminate that line from the transit mall to the Long Beach VA, you're going to deny all these veterans because half our members go to the Long Beach VA. They also go to Long Beach State University. This is what Corporal Tiber Rubin, our honorary life member of our post, wants me to tell you. Please do not cut this line. It's very important to veterans. They don't have to pay another line or another fee to another bus. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Julia, followed by Eros, followed by Ivana Naret Machado.
My name is Julia Wallace. I'm a member of the LA March 4th Committee to Defend Public Education and Social Services, and I'm also a board member of the South Central Neighborhood Council. So we have just had a victory in our neighborhood council against the confiscation of cars, and I'm here to also talk about and defend the bus riders that are in our area. You have talked about efficiency and made sure to talk about efficiency, and really you've tried to downplay the budget, and part of it is because there is money, there's stimulus money, there's money that you can use, and you don't actually need to cut these services. It has nothing to do with not having any money. In fact, I think in Forbes magazine they said there's 12 billionaires that live in this city, and yet we keep talking about not having any money. There's money here, but you need to cut it from the right places. Stop cutting it from working people. Stop cutting the bus lines. You need to have more bus lines. In fact, you need to lower the rates. Instead of talking about how you could, instead of us having to come here and saying, please don't cut this, please don't cut that, you need to actually be having conversations about how you're going to reduce our fares, all of our fares and our monthly fares. So thank you so much. No cuts, no cuts to any services.
Price, followed by Ivan Annette, and then Barbara Lott Holland.
My name is Eros Rice. Is this on? My name is Eros Rice, and I represent myself as a resident of Los Angeles. I've got 3 points, and from there I'll ad lib. The first thing is, had I not turned on the news at 6 a.m. this morning, I would not have known about this meeting. I'd like to chastise the news because all they said that it was downtown at MTA headquarters. Tell us where we're going. I had to ask a bus driver. Number two, I've been on disability for over a year. I, for whatever reason, lost my vehicle in the last month. For the last 3 weeks, I've been riding the bus. If the bus was not there, I would not have been able to get downtown to the disability office for them to erroneously send me to the disability office in Van Nuys. Once again, different story. Number three, with everything happening in North Africa right now and in the Middle East, in a minute, we're not going to have any fuel. We need our buses. Angelenos, park your cars, ride the buses. They work for us.
Yvonne Annette Machado from Acción Westlake in MacArthur Park vicinity. I'm a resident of the Westlake area, and we opposing the elimination of the 316 bus line or the 200 bus line. And we have a lot of buses in our area, and we would like to keep it to our working class community. I know you guys do not get minimum wage, and we understand that. And I'm sick and tired of seeing minorities representing, supposedly being puppets of society and not standing up for working class people. So please do not eliminate the service to the poor. And as a Mexican, I will not vote for any of these minorities in this office that will try to run for higher office. That is a disgusting impact on the future generations. Thank you.
Mark. Barbalot Holland, then Francesca Porches, and then Suyang Yang.
Good morning, board members. My name is Barbalot Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union and resident of South Los Angeles. Why do we have to stand? We do not pay our fare to stand on the bus. Once again, over 500 bus riders are left to carry the brunt of MTA's self-imposed deficit. These cuts represent 13% of MTA's entire service and will have devastating effects on the poor and the transit dependent. These cuts means 100% of the consent decree gains will be eliminated. The consent decree was established to permanently remedy the civil rights violations, and in reality, MTA is creating the same conditions that led to the consent decree in the first place. If these proposed cuts go through the 582, this will, if it moves forward, this will be the single biggest reduction in bus service in a single year since MTA was created in the 90s. I want to thank Councilman Board Member Wilson, Molina, and Wrigley Thomas for their support in postponing this and having the staff reevaluate and come up with different.
Thank you. Francesca, and then Xiang.
Hi, this is Francisca Porchas. MTA faces federal investigation under higher scrutiny in Washington, D.C. This on-site compliance review of MTA is based on the broadest and most thorough type of investigation performed by the FTA Office of Civil Rights, which you all know by now. Rogoff actually signaled to agencies last week to follow civil rights compliance to the T. Yet, we have Leahy. We have other people here saying that we need to lower our operating standards like the rest of the country. Maybe we should change what the buses say from the cleanest fuel-free in the country to MTA's lowering operation standards like the rest of the country. That should be the motto of this agency. We're asking today for you to reject these changes. As you know, adopting the current package of cuts will exacerbate the very problems we raised in our MTA and FTA complaint. Impacts are going to be horrible on low-income people of color. In recent history, as an indication of the consequences, $70 million were taken away from BART. We hope you make smart choices today and vote no on these cuts.
Jiang, then Archie Souder, and then Jose Rodriguez.
Good morning, MTA Board. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. I would like to raise some questions around standards. The concept of standards is that it doesn't change every time, every minute, to justify a policy that you guys are doing. But as what we have observed so far is that the standards to justify these bus cuts have been changing every time. We think these standards are being imposed to justify more and more bus service cuts. We're talking about the fact that, you know, that even the 757 was proposed to be completely eliminated under the standards that the staff has put out. Before, you guys were talking about, you know, 1.2 load factor. Now the standards have changed to 1.3 load factor to justify cutting more bus lines. You guys have said that no more than a third mile of walking. Now staff has increased to more than half mile walking. Those kinds of standard changes are what needs to be changed in this, not the bus lines. We ask you, CR Leahy, if this is really about efficiency, then those $23 million that are unaccounted for should be reinvested to make real back into the bus system for real efficiency, unless your standard of efficiency is more wait times and more transfers for bus riders.
Thank you. Archie Souder, Jose Rodriguez, followed by Maria Castillo.
Hello, my name is Archie. I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union and the Home Care Workers Union. First, I want to apologize. The last time that I was up here about Mark Riley Thomas making cuts, I didn't mean that. But anyway, the elimination of the 757 on the weekends will cause people to take the 120, which runs every hour, to get to the Green Line station. And access services, you have to call a day ahead in order to take the services to get to any bus or get to work or whatever. And it sometimes make people late for work, and they pick you up later. They'd be late picking you up from your destination that you've been to. So the 757 and any other buses need to be not eliminated. Thank you.
Thank you. Jose Rodriguez, followed by Maria Castillo, followed by, I think it's Eric Humjack.
Good morning, everybody, this morning. My name is Jose Rodriguez, and I want to say I see you guys looking into this, which is I very thank for that, but you're still not looking in summer routes that they're going to really affect. Please look at the 96. I'm against cutting the route because you replace it with the 155. The 155 doesn't run on Saturdays. 445 should stay the way it is. Please revise 445 and also 485. I'm a student at Cal State LA. I don't like, after I'm paying for a fare, coming in a full bus. We don't have enough services from Cal State LA to downtown and the time the students get out from classes. And the 757, I mean, we need the route also on weekends, especially on Saturdays also. So please revise those and start just wasting money on things that are not really. You said about cleaning the buses. MTA cannot even do a good job cleaning the buses. I see the buses so dirty. So you're trying to save money on what? You're not going to do anything after that. Look at the top car. We have to change this every 6 months. That's wasting money too. I would like to switch
a
new top car every 2 years at least.
Maria
have
Castillo,
a nice day.
Eric Hornjack, and then Joanne Casper. Joanna Casper, excuse me.
Yeah.
Me llamo María Castillo.
My name is María Castillo.
Y he sido pasajera por más de 30 años.
And I've been a bus rider for more than 30 years.
Aquí en Los Ángeles, Koreatown.
In Los Angeles and Koreatown.
Trabajo como caregiver.
I work as a caregiver.
Y mi agencia me manda por todos lados.
And my agency sends me all throughout the city.
Siempre voy en autobús, pero no sé qué bases voy a tomar.
I always travel by bus, but now I'm not sure what buses I'll have to be taking.
Si cortan los autobuses, no sé si voy a llegar al trabajo.
If you